What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. My name is Ian Edwards, and I'm just excited. I'm happy. The Premiership is back. It couldn't have been a better opening weekend. The games were motherfucking smashing, fantastic. Arsenal and Leicester started the weekend off with a bang, and yeah, they did their thing. 7 goals in one game, back and forth, momentum changes, just everything you could ask for, a thriller in the opening game. And the week can just continue in that manner. But first, I just want you all to know this podcast is available at SoundCloud, allthingscomedy.com, World Football Daily. This podcast is also available on iTunes. You can get at me on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic. I'm also on Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic. You can go to my website, ianedwardscomedian.com, and you could buy my comedy album there. It's produced by Conan. It's called 100% Half-Assed. I'm a stand-up comic who just loves soccer, the BPL, Premier League, and this is what I come on here and talk about. Also, I have a sponsor called onthevolleyapparel.com. If you go to that website and you use the promo code SoccerRant, you can get 20% off gear. You go there, they got t-shirts, they got tanks, they got hoodies, they got jerseys. If you have like a local soccer team and you want to be outfitted, or if you just want something to rock normally, casually, go there. They got 16 tees. They got 2 types of tanks. They got 8 types of hoodies and 4 types of jerseys. And they have stuff for ladies and kids. So go to the website, onthevolleyapparel.com, and check it out. And if you want to buy something, use my promo code SoccerRant. And so, yeah. I mean, if you weren't into soccer and you just watched this week of the Premiership, you'd pretty much be on board to just see what's going on for at least the next 5 weeks. It was an amazing opening game. Opening game was Leicester versus Arsenal, and they gave us our money's worth. And Leicester almost took it, man. Leicester almost took it. Leicester from 2 seasons ago came out, and Lacazette, the new signing from Arsenal, he broke his duck. The relief is off. He scored 2 minutes into the game. If you want to, like, shake a goal-scoring monkey off your back, you know, 2 minutes into the game is a great place for that to happen. You know what I mean? Like, whoo, I scored. All the money they paid for me, now I can just be loose now and play. And the game went back and forth. And Sanchez did not play. And the lineup, let's see the lineup that Wenger came out with. It was kind of very defensive, you know. So I think he's changing. I don't know how long he's going to keep this up. So when I say defensive, like, he started with Xhaka and Elneny. Meanwhile, he had on the bench Ramsey, who is more creative than defensive, still good defensive, but very creative. Walcott and Giroud, also on the bench. They all came into the game and had an impact later on. But he could have started with Ramsey, and normally back in the day he would have. But he chose to go with 2 very defensive midfielder guys. And it didn't work, because they were down... down 3-1 or 3-2. So it's just funny that even Wenger's defensive midfielders don't know how to defend. It didn't work. They went down 2-1, brought it back to 2-2, then it went back to 3-2, and then they scored two in a row and won 4-3. And what do you do with Oliver Giroud? Because, listen, I don't like, I'm not crazy about Giroud. I'm not against him. I'm not crazy about him. Because even I have gone back and forth about him. Like, sometimes it feels like he's having a good season in seasons past, and then Wenger pulls him and puts him on the bench and starts Walcott or Oxlade-Chamberlain or just whoever he has there, and he claims that Giroud stopped scoring. And I never noticed him stop scoring. But then if he's on the bench and he's not starting, he has less time and he definitely doesn't and won't score. He also seems like the type of guy that only scores when it's on easy teams. So, I don't know. He came in at the end of this game. He scored the winning goal. I think Giroud could be a good player. He could be better than he is. But if he's on the bench, it'll motivate him to try to prove himself and prove that he's a better player than we've seen. So I think the bench might be good for him, actually. He's better than a bench player, but he might be too comfortable if you start him, and you may never get the most out of him. So, you know, being on the bench probably hurts his pride. There's a World Cup season, and he wants to get in that French World Cup team, so he'll probably play harder and train harder off the field just to get on the field. Welbeck scored. It was a bungly goal. But nevertheless, it was a goal. It was a goal that made the game 2-2 right before the halftime. And like, I see what Welbeck brings. Like, Welbeck doesn't have like a lot of skill and finesse, but he has a lot of determination, and he has an engine, and he'll run. He's like a midfielder who's playing forward. You know what I mean? And I think that's what his issue is. Like, when you see Danny Welbeck, he's playing pretty much forward, and you're expecting to get goals out of him. But he has like a midfield engine in him. You know, he doesn't give up. He's determined, and he causes shit up there. But he's probably not a forward. Definitely not a forward. And Vardy, he did his thing. He started the season sharp. Got two goals in the game. They were Vardy-like goals. The first one was definitely a Vardy-like goal. Just meeting that cross with his foot, beating everyone to it. Goalkeeper and the guy that was trailing him. And the header in the second half. Like, Arsenal was disorganized back there. It's early in the season. Nobody really knows their assignments. Like, you had a preseason, but it's not good enough to, like, really gel in all the ways you need to gel to be in a Premiership season. There were mistakes like this all over the games throughout the weekend. Like, people were missing assignments and blowing shit, but yeah, thank God people didn't have their shit together, because it created a very exciting game, and I enjoyed it immensely, and I'm sure everybody else did. So the first game was Arsenal 4, Leicester 3, barn burner. I'm trying to see if there's anything I want to say. I feel bad for Leicester. I wanted them to pull this off. But if they weren't going to pull it off, I'm glad that it was an exciting game. But I fucks with Leicester more than I fucks with Arsenal, for sure. And there's rumors about Sanchez leaving. He didn't play. He was there. There's rumors that he's in France, that PSG might get him. We don't know what's going to happen. I kind of don't think he's coming back. And that's a big blow to Arsenal and their title hopes. But they're fighting to keep him. And they're not the only team. Like, usually players, I don't feel teams fight hard enough to keep their players. But if Arsenal fights to keep Sanchez and they keep him, this is a change for me. This is a positive change for them as an organization. So let's see what happens. Let's go back to some other games. Liverpool Watford. This was weird. This was definitely weird because it's Liverpool versus Watford. So you expect, all right, Liverpool's just going to take this, right? Nah. First, they go down to Watford by a goal in the 8th minute. Then Sadio Mane, so here's a crazy thing. Barcelona is trying to buy Coutinho from Liverpool. But you know who they should, be trying to buy? Mane. Because the moves that I saw him do to get this goal, and when you think about everything he did last year, like, let's see how old Sadio Mane is. Let's see. So he's 25. He's young as hell, and he's really coming into his own. And everybody gives Coutinho a lot of credit, I guess because he's Brazilian, but Mane has been balling his ass off. And he's very effective. He never stops running. And a lot of skill is appearing, like, that wasn't apparent before. And he's a good buy. Like, Klopp got him last year. And they're fine to hold on to Coutinho, but they better hope nobody comes calling for Mane, or else Liverpool is really in trouble. I said this last week, Liverpool has to hold on to, they have to hold on to Coutinho, or else they're not title contenders. There's no way. And Klopp is doing everything he can, but this is not Klopp's call. Like, the owners of Liverpool might just really just want some money. And they could probably get a lot of money from Barcelona, because Barcelona just got that big check from PSG. So we'll see who Liverpool is. The transfer window is a very telling thing. And it lets you know who's serious about winning a title and who's not. And it's tough to make decisions on who's going to win the league before it closes. And then also before it opens back again later on in the season and then closes. This is another intriguing game. Then Watford took the lead again in the 32nd minute. And then Firmino came back, scored a penalty. And the penalty was Gomez fouled Salah. And Salah's a new signing by Liverpool. So he earned a penalty. And he also scored a goal. And he's fast. He's got a lot of speed. Firmino chipped the ball to him, and he caught it out the air, put it in the back of the net. And I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. Like, if Coutinho stays and Salah turns out to be a player, and again, it's an early season game, and a lot of positions on the field for all the teams aren't gelling. You know, Liverpool definitely had some defensive mistakes for not covering people, and that's how Watford got their goals. Watford took advantage of that, and so now Liverpool's only stuck with 1 point in the first game of the season. But yeah, another good game with a lot of goals. Six goals. What else do we have going on? Another game, Bournemouth versus West Brom. I knew West Brom would come out tough. They always do at the beginning of the season. Pulis is just trying to get them 40 points and get them as soon as possible. I said this last week. Bournemouth is probably a better team, but West Brom is probably more determined right now. And so they got the goal in the 31st minute and held on and won the game. And that's all I can really say about this game. I don't know much about it. I don't know much about the Southampton-Swansea game, except that it was 0-0, you know. Like, of all the things going on this weekend, I wasn't going to pay a lot of attention to Southampton versus Swansea. So, two teams from last year who had their ups and downs on the table meet this year in the first game of the season, and they both split the points. They both get one. And I'm going to guess that it wasn't the greatest football. How about that? That's what I'm going to guess. But did not see the match. So can't really call this one. I'm in Australia. I got shows and I have to go to the casino to see some of the games. And they don't have all the games. When I get back to the States next week, I'll see everything. Everton versus Stoke. 1-0. Everton 1, Stoke 0. And I wonder who scored this goal for Everton. I wonder. Oh, shit. Is it? Oh, there it is. Wayne Rooney. He's back. And I'm happy for him. First of all, it's crazy that he transferred back to his old club and that he scored the winning goal on his first game back to the club after how many years has he been away? Wayne Rooney left Everton in 2005. Strolls back onto the field for them in 2017 and scores a goal in the first game. Last year, Rooney scored five goals for Man United. So, getting one for Everton already in one game, that's good for him. So, Everton took care of their business. Koeman did his thing. Let me see who Koeman put on the field. He put on Pickford, Michael Kane, and he got Michael Kane, I think, from, I want to make sure, from Burnley. And Michael Kane used to play for Man U, won some youth championships with the Man U youth squad in Pogba. And he's a highly touted British defender. I think he's all right. I just think we don't have a lot of great defenders, so we think Michael Kane is better than what he really is. He's all right. He's all right. They play Jagielka, Calvert-Lewin. It's going to be good. Snyderlin, who we got rid of and we have a Matic now. Leighton Baines. Rooney was forward, started. And, yeah. And who does Stoke have on their team? Let's see. They have a lot of people. A lot of old dudes, man. Jeff Cameron. Darren Fletcher. Shaqiri ain't old, but you don't know when he's going to really show up. Saudi Barino, he's young. Their bench is 30 and up on Stoke. Glenn Johnson, Charlie Adams, Peter Crouch. Just old dudes. Just an infirmary. It's a football old age home. So they need to. Stoke could be in trouble this season. They could go down if they don't get their shit together. This has been coming. So we'll see what happens. But I would not be surprised. So Huddersfield Town versus Crystal Palace. It's Huddersfield Town. They're in the Premiership. They just got promoted. They're playing Crystal Palace, a team that almost got demoted and shipped down to the Championship last season. And apparently, they came into this Premiership season in Championship form, and Huddersfield came into this season with Premiership form. Like Huddersfield, they came in optimistic and they want to stay in the Premier League. Crystal Palace barely held on last year and showed that they barely held on last year by the way they played this game. And Huddersfield pounded them. And first, Crystal Palace pathetically gave up an own goal. And then Steve Mooney just just did the rest. And he scored two. And Crystal Palace is another team you better watch. Like, they are relegation zone worthy for sure. So, they didn't end great last year. And it might. We'll see. You won't be surprised to see where they're going to be hovering around for the most of the season. They just haven't been able to gel their buys together over the last few years. Shit is just not working over there. It's not great. And they just got Fasu Mensah from us, which was... somebody tweeted me that Fasu Mensah went to Crystal Palace. I'm glad he's getting playing time. I hope at least he shines out as a diamond in this lineup. But, yeah, man. It feels like this team, last year and the year before, should be doing better. They also have Loftus-Cheek from Chelsea, Crystal Palace. I've seen this guy play, man. He's got skill. So hopefully him, Fasu Mensah, can like do something over here. And they got Hothead Wilfred Zaha, Christian Benteke, Punchin. They just got like players with like decently talented players that just have a hard time gelling. Like something's missing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a style of play that kind of conflicts with the style of players that they have. I don't know if it's the coach. Who knows what something's always just a little off with Crystal Palace. You know, it's a decent enough team. It's not bad, you know. But we'll see. We'll see. So here's one of the biggest talking points and games of the season so far. And it's the first week of the Premiership, and Burnley goes up to Chelsea, and Chelsea are the champs. And you're like, yeah, man, Chelsea got this. This should be easy. Burnley doesn't win games on the road. They win up most of the games at home. That's where they get their points from last year, so that they could stay in the Premier League. And Burnley's like, we're going to shake things up a little bit. And we're going to score some goals at the champs ground. And everything went wrong in the first half of the game when in the 14th minute, Cahill, red card. Shouldn't have been a red card. Maybe a yellow. Maybe a yellow. Studs were up. They weren't intentional, but they were up. So maybe you got to give me something. But then now, Chelsea are down to 10 men against a hungry Burnley. And Sam Vokes was the first one to take advantage of that. 24th minute. He took advantage of that again in the 43rd. Well, and before that, Stephen Ward took advantage of being 11 men up against Chelsea 10. Even though, Chelsea, you're down by 10 men, you're at home. So you really still got 11 men. So I don't even understand how this happened. How does Burnley come in with more determination and desire? You know, does Chelsea just has this the last two times Chelsea won the titles, they've gotten big championship hangovers. And this hangover started when they won the Premiership last season, because they had a last game they had to play was against Arsenal for the FA Cup, and they lost that, and they should have won that. And they lost a man in that game too. They went down 10 men. In this game, they went down to 9 men. Like, they upped the ante by losing an extra man. So it was just a very interesting game, man. A lot of things happened. The Cahill sending off, then they bring in Morata. You know, the season. You know, the signing of the forward from Real Madrid to replace Diego Costa and Morata got on the board. He scored. And then he created an assist for David Luiz to make the game 3-2 when they were only had 9 men on the field because Cesc got a red card or a second yellow that turned into a red. So the good thing is Morata works. The bad thing is you guys lost 2 men and you lost the game. So you started the season, your Premiership champs, you started the season at home and you lost at home to Burnley, a team that no one, not even Burnley, would expect to beat you. Like if this is how bad this loss was. Like if Burnley at the end of they had 3 points at the beginning of the game. They had 3 goals. And if they had lost 4-3, they wouldn't have been that down on themselves because they know they were lucky enough to be up 3 goals away on the road to Chelsea. But somehow they held on, and that's more shocking to them than the fact that they got out of there. It's more shocking that they held on, that they didn't choke and end up losing 4-3. So this is huge. I know Conte's mad because they didn't make a lot of buys. I heard they're trying to get Perisic now, which is like another Man U target. And there's some issues because they sold Matic to a competitor. And we all know what Matic done or did this weekend for Man U. And Matic, he was a key player in both Chelsea's championships. And they sold him for £40 million to one of your rivals. So I was reading something about what Mourinho said. He said, "We shouldn't have been able to have gotten Matic, but something happened. Like, an agent called him. I think it was Matic's agent, says, hey." Like, Mourinho said, "I like the guy. I brought him to Chelsea, but I didn't pursue him because I figured I would never get him." And then the agent calls and says, "Hey, if you want Matic, just make Chelsea an offer." And he's like, "What?" So then he makes the offer, and boom, we get a Matic from a major competitor, one of their best players, in a position that we needed this position filled 5 years ago. And this is one of the best people you could have to fill it. I'll get into him when I do the Man U game, but yeah. So Chelsea has gotten rid of more people than they've gotten in. And when I say people, Matic is a key person. So, and it showed. It showed. And so it's just going to be an interesting season. You know, it's going to be an interesting season. Now, the biggest game for me all week, and you know, would be, well, let's do Newcastle-Tottenham first. Let's do that game. So, let me see. We're ahead of everybody in the world time-wise. So, I have to go to the casino because the casino has a 24/7 sports bar that shows Premiership games. So it's like Sunday night, Monday night, 10:30. I go to the Star Casino. I take a train and then I walk for 15 minutes across a bridge, and then I go to the casino and I get a cup of tea and I sit down in front of a big screen. And at first, nobody's there with me. But then as the game time approaches, I look around and it's just packed. And there's people here there to see Spurs versus Newcastle. And I'm not alone. And it's 10:30 and we kick off. and everybody's excited, and the game's kind of, you know, kind of slow, but as I expected. It's Newcastle, it's Benitez. One thing Benitez can do is set up when he has, like, an inferior team. So he was set up to defend, and if they can get a fast break and score, they'll do that. They'll set up for that. And when Newcastle did get the ball, they didn't look panicky with it. They looked very capable. You know, they looked like they could do some things. They could score. Like, they've been drilled well. And so I think they'll have a good season. But you can't, Jonjo Shelvey, go around stomping on people in front of the referee. Are you out of your fucking 25-year-old mind? What is wrong with you, dude? Like, I like this guy. You know, he's a good passer. He's smart with the ball, but I guess dumb without it. Like, Dele Alli's on the floor. He got fouled. He's holding onto the ball. And this guy does the worst acting job of accidentally stamping on Dele Alli's feet and thinks somebody's going to buy it. That, like, I'd sooner believe you have a full head of hair than believe you accidentally stepped on Dele Alli. So then he gets kicked out of the game in the 48th minute. You have a whole half. You're a newly promoted team. You just got back to the Premiership. You're playing the team that became in second in the league. You couldn't have made a worse mistake. Like, even an own goal wouldn't have been as bad, because at least you'd have still had 11 men on the field. So now Spurs is like, all right, let's do what we do. And then they stepped it up. And, you know, between combinations of Dele Alli, Eriksen, and Kane passing the ball with each other, and then they took Sissoko off the field, put Song on, and then they got that old mojo going from the year before. And then you add in a Ben Davies running up from left back. And, yeah. Spurs of all the teams was one of the few teams that got it together or had it together, you know, from the first game of the season. Like, defensively they had it together, and chemistry wise they had it together. And then sometimes, you know, you're gonna take time to break a team like Newcastle down. Like, it took Man City time to break Brighton down, but you're gonna break them down. You know, everybody starts a game like fresh, they're not tired, everybody's going to run, but after a while, you know, true professionalism is going to take over, and that's what happened with Spurs. And I think Newcastle was at home, and they had a chance to get at least a point out of this game, but Jonjo Shelvey, you blew it for them. You blew it for them, big time. And I don't like Benitez, but Kind of wanted a draw here, but I knew it was impossible once Shelvey got kicked off. Dele Alli had a great game. He scored the first one. His movement is crazy, and the way he combines with Eriksen and Kane and Song and is amazing. Dembele had a good game. In the first half, when Dembele had the ball, like, when... This, sometimes I think Pochettino should experiment and put Harry Winks in the holding position and put Dembele forward, because that guy has a lot of skill and he's using it defensively. Now, he's great defensively, so you do need him back there, but it feels like you're taken away from a lot of offensive possession, offensive and attacking. This guy has a high attacking IQ. I think he can pass the ball, and you can't get the ball from him. I think he can dribble from people. He's tall. He's powerful. He has a lot of things that aren't getting used because he's being played as a defensive or a holding midfielder. Like, I think if you put this guy, push him up some more, sometimes you can get some goals out of this guy. You know, you can get some goals, and you can get more assists out of him. I understand you need him back there to defend because, like I said, he was always there tackling and covering for people. But sometimes Winks is a vicious defender. He wants to defend. He wants to compensate for his size. So sometimes you could push him up. And sometimes you could rest Eriksen or somebody. But I think you can get a lot more attacking-wise out of Dembele. That's what I was noticing in this game. And it's been bugging me for like a few seasons. That like something's missing from this guy. And I know what it is. It's his position. Like if he was forward, a little bit more forward, he'd be a different player. But he's a team player right now. Dele Alli, I mentioned before, he's just the way he moves and his style of play. His style of play is, I don't want to hold on to the ball. You pass it to me, I'll one flick it to you back or to somebody else that nobody sees until I flick the ball to them. And then I'll keep running and they can pass it back to me and I can take a shot. And he's very one touch. He's very one touch. He works off the ball. He works off you. Dyer had a good game. Kyle Walker-Peters, who happens to have two of the names of the guy he's replacing. That is the irony of his name and his position. He played good. How old is this kid? This kid is 20 years old. And he's a wing back and never felt out of place or looked uncomfortable once. So Spurs has done it again. They got some youth. And even though Danny Rose wants to leave because he feels Spurs hasn't bought anybody and he feels like he's getting older and he feels he wants to go win something and he wants to go make more money. He feels like Spurs aren't serious about winning the championship. You know, like this kid had a good game and it was against Newcastle who went down to 10 men at some point. But this kid is just going to get more comfortable and more bolder and better. And he should play better than he did. And he already played good. So I think you're going to get a lot out of him. And I just think Spurs trusts. I just like the way Spurs trusts in their youth system. I like that a lot. And I wish more Premiership teams were like that. But, you know, do you really have to buy if you trust in your youth system? Like, you have a youth system. You're buying players at a young age. You're training them. And then you never let them play. Meanwhile, you have players that you bought and you just keep buying. Everybody just buys. So you don't even use your youth kit system is like a backup plan that you never use, you know? Spurs uses their plan B. All the time they use their plan B and it works out. So, you know, and they're playing within a budget. But we'll see. And Ben Davies scored a second goal. Kept on running. Stole the ball of Harry Kane. Put it in the back of the net. And Spurs went up 2 and they locked this one down in the 70th minute. And there's no way Newcastle was coming back with only 10 men on the field. And Benitez takes his first loss. Welcome back to the BPL. And Spurs came second last year. They got their 3 points. Sorry, yawning. So then, like I said, I was at the casino for this game, Newcastle versus Spurs. And half an hour after that, in the same casino, I waited around. And the Man U West Ham game came on. And it's funny, you know, some fans only stick around to see their team play. So there was a half an hour gap, and I'm sitting in the casino, and me and maybe only a few people stayed. It emptied out. The sports bar emptied out. But by the time the Man U West Ham game started again, when I turned around, that place was full again. It was replaced by a new set of people, mostly Man U fans, who came to see this Man U team unveiled. They came to see what David De Gea, Valencia, Eric Bailly, Phil Jones, Daley Blind, Matic, Paul Pogba, Juan Mata, Mkhitaryan, Rashford, and Lukaku would do. They came to see that. And I'm going to diss somebody here, but I'm going to compliment them at the same time. Like, this Man U lineup that Mourinho put on the field is one of the smartest and most technically gifted lineup we've had, like, on the field in a long fucking time. When you think about Mata's skill, Paul Pogba's skill, one of the best midfielders in the world, Matic's skill, he's won 2 BPL titles, Daily Blind, listen, this guy's smart. Daily Blind is a smart motherfucker. Because if you take into a fact that he might be not be that fast and he's playing a back and he never really gets beaten and he always makes good passes from the back. And then Phil Jones is the only person I would say is not that smart. But maybe I'm judging him off when he was playing for Fergie, and I think Fergie made him nervous. And for some reason, Mourinho makes him he plays better for Mourinho. So I just remember the goofy shit Phil Jones used to do and how slow he was under Fergie. And after playing him a few times, Fergie didn't play him again. And last season I was shocked to see him play, but pleasantly surprised how he combined with Smalling or Bai or whoever he was playing with, or Rojo, and did his thing. So he had a good game and he looks faster. Bai, I like him, but he's young, man, and he makes mistakes too. Sometimes he counts on his athleticism too much and he doesn't make smart moves. I expect he's going to get some red cards and sent off in some games. Valencia had an okay game for Valencia. He's way better than that. De Gea, one of the best, if not the best goalkeeper in the world right now. He's one of the best, one of the best. Like, he does something every game to let you know and let you be thankful that he's a Man U goalkeeper. We should not sell this guy. He's fucking amazing. Pogba scored a goal that last year would have hit the post. And he just had a very skillful, fucking amazing day. And Mata, he was okay. He was okay. Mkhitaryan, like, it's funny. You didn't see him a lot in the game, but when you look back and check the stats, he had 2 assists. So Marcus Rashford was just all over them, killing them with speed. He opened it up, created the pass for Lukaku's first goal. And Matic, like, what can you say about Matic, man? Listen, there's a lot of people I named could have been player of the game. You know, Matic was the player of the game. Pogba could have been player of the game. He scored, and he just, a lot of people did not put away Pogba's assist, but he was very creative in the game, and he's very defensive. Listen, don't sleep on Paul Pogba's defensive game. He covers the field everywhere, you know, and people are discounting this because they want to see him score goals or make pretty passes, but this guy does every fucking thing. So now you got a back like Matic who does everything, like a holding midfield like Matic who does everything. Like, I know we always praising Carrick, but we're always, he's English, and we over-exaggerate and praise Carrick. Like, Carrick is not in the category of Matic at all. He's fine, Carrick. He's not bad, but he ain't no Matic. And Mkhitaryan could have been player of the game. Rashford, maybe not player of the game, but did his thing. Lukaku definitely could have been player of the game. Like, so we had a bunch of stars out there. And we dominated the game, and they just started confident and bright, and they just knew they could beat this team, and Mourinho did not hold them back. You know, issue is, what is Mourinho going to do for the rest of the season? He's going to let the dogs loose, or he's going to yank the chains on them? We don't know. We don't know. So, but we'll see. You know? And I'm just looking at our bench, like, Ander Herrera, he's a hero, didn't play. You know? Fellaini went in. And Lingard went in, and Martial went in the game and scored. Martial, in his short time on the field, had a goal and assist. He assisted Pogba in his goal. So he could have been the man of the match, you know? So, yeah, man. We're doing it out there. Like, yeah, we don't need to buy anybody. Like, from the last game of the regular season, last season, I saw some young players that were effective. And I know Chelsea is pursuing Perisic, and we want him. But I want us to trust our youth, too, just like Spurs does, and pull up one of them guys. I think we're fine. I think we're fine. I hope Mourinho trusts in that. Save some money. People are always shitting on us for spending money. Joe Hart was back. So Joe Hart, I think he's still owned by Man City. And they loaned him to West Ham. And he's like, great, this is a great opportunity. There's a World Cup year coming up. I want to be seen by my coach. So I'm only here to prove something to Gareth Southgate, the England coach. Well, you didn't prove anything yesterday, buddy. 4 goals went past you. And that's the thing. He's all right as a goalkeeper. But David De Gea would have saved at least 2 of those. At least 1. But that's my issue with Joe Hart. It's like Spain has David De Gea. England has Joe Hart. Like, we're not good. Zamaleta couldn't keep up with the pace of Rashford. Just got burnt. Winston Reid just got burnt. Just got burnt, man. Just all day. Just could not keep up with Rashford. Mark Noble didn't really notice him until he got subbed out. And Marco Arnautović just played defense all day. Had no choice. Like, it was just funny. Like we was on West Ham so much that Arnautović and who else and Ayew were defending a lot, especially in the first half. They didn't go forward. And any chance that they did have, you know, like I said, my boy De Gea saved it. Chicharito dives a lot, cries, tries to, you know, fine, you're back in the Premiership. It's the first game of the week. This team can win some games. You know, but you know, when you read the names of the players, you're like, this team could do something. Or are they like Crystal Palace? It's just a bunch of names on a piece of paper, and together they are nothing. Because they had a lot of trouble last year, but they retained Bilic. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Thank God nothing happened when they played Man U. So Man U wins that game 4-0. Their first game, they got all points. I should read the table because we're number one in the table. But come on, it's just too early. It's just too early. But what a great game. I was thoroughly pleased. And yeah, Man U did their thing. There's other just European football news. I watched it. So after that, I came home. And that same night, so it's like 4 in the morning now, I turn on my computer and I watch the Supercopa, and that's Barcelona versus Real Madrid. And the first leg was played in the Nou Camp, and Barcelona went down 1-0 when Piqué accidentally put the ball in the back of the net. And then Real Madrid comes back when, to me, this was a dive. You know, and if you're a referee, you have to know that Suarez is a diver. And so you have to really look at anything that, anytime he goes down in the penalty box, you have to look at that and be like, did he really get fouled? You know, and the referee calls a penalty, and that's Messi takes it, evens the game. Then we bring on Ronaldo. And Ronaldo, man, what a goal. Just reminiscent of old school Ronaldo. And he's playing Barcelona. And he wants to beat them. He wants to prove something. And he's 32. People think he's getting old. And he's like, nah, bro. nah. So he almost rips the goal out the back of the post, takes his shirt off, takes the yellow card, and gets a goal. And then, few seconds later, literally, goes down in the box under a challenge from Umtiti of Barcelona, and the referee calls him for a dive. Now, that, it's, so here's the deal. The play is not, listen, that Ronaldo going down in the box from the challenge from Umtiti is more of a penalty than the Suarez penalty was a penalty, but the referee called that a dive. No, Suarez dived. But I can see why the ref would give him a penalty. But Ronaldo definitely didn't dive. And Ronaldo's probably paying from the dives of Christmas past, you know? So he got the yellow. And then, you know, it's a shocking string of events. You just got on the field. You just scored. And then you get a yellow card. And your body reacts. And he pushes the ref. And now he's got a 5-game ban. He won't be in the Supercopa. But, and so then now you're still in the middle of the Supercopa. And Real Madrid is one man down. But this is the thing about Real Madrid. Under Zidane, this is a different team. Mentality-wise, it's a different team. They have minds of steel. And they did something in this game that they did in the last regular season Clásico. When they went down a man and they fucking attacked Barcelona. At the Nou Camp, I think they were. At the Nou Camp, and they attacked Barcelona. And they paid for it, but just the fact that they were a man down and felt that they could attack Barcelona was so different from the mentality of years before. Like, that team believed that they could beat them. And this team, one man down, was like, fuck it, we attacking these motherfuckers again in their own home with 10 men on the field. And Asensio, like, if you thought Ronaldo's goal was good, this was a motherfucking goal. This kid has arrived. He's here. And there's just so many young players on Real Madrid that are just improving, that they got for literally no money coming through the youth system. They got Casemiro. They got Asensio. And their roster is crazy. These people want to play for fucking Zidane. And you got Bale. And you got Kuz. Modric didn't even play. And it was Kovacic out there, and Isco was balling. Isco couldn't play under Ancelotti, who I like, and he couldn't play under Mourinho. So it's just, it's gonna be crazy. This team is unstoppable. They could win a third Champions League, because if they have injuries, they have replacements. Now, they're so cocky, they sold Morata. They sold two goal scorers. Morata probably scored 20 goals this year. They sold him. That's how cocky they are. That's how much they believe in Asensio and Isco's. Yeah, that's how much Isco's improved. They can get goals out of Casemiro. They got Bale. They got Ronaldo. They got Benzema. They got Modric. They got... let me stop. Let me motherfucking stop. So, next leg of the Supercopa is Thursday, August 17th, which is... I wonder if that's... That's Australian times. So that's probably, I don't know what time that is for Europe or America, but for me, it's Thursday, August 17th at 7 a.m. That's when, and that's at the Bernabeu, and I think even without Ronaldo, Real Madrid should win the Supercopa. And, Barcelona's homie, Neymar, played against Guancamp for PSG, and a great assist for his first assist in a PSG uniform to Cavani. It was a silky-ass assist. It just golf-balled it. right through the defenders. Cavani ran onto it, put the ball in the back of the net. And then later on, Cavani returned the favor. Like, PSG was already up one goal. It was an own goal. And then Neymar gets the ball around the halfway line, dribbles, and just one pass, golf style. Boom, Cavani runs onto it, puts it in the back of the net. Then later on, Cavani's down on the touchline, dribbling, chips the ball in to a running in Neymar. Neymar puts it in the net, first PSG goal. PSG got 3 points out the game. And it's their second game of the season. And the €22 million is starting to pay off. One goal and one assist in one game at a time. So that's the soccer news. Let me go back to the Premier League for something. So we got games coming up next weekend. So Saturday, we got Man U versus Swansea. And Man U goes down to Swansea. Last year, Swansea stole some points from us. But I don't think they can do it to this team this year. So this is one of the games we want to get points out of them, because they kind of took points from us last year. I don't think Swansea has what it takes. And I don't even know if Swansea will still have Eriksen. Not Eriksen. Sigurdsson. By the time we play them, they might. But their asking price for him is above his value, if you ask me. But yeah. And then, what other games are worthy of looking at next week coming up? Liverpool plays Crystal Palace at Anfield, so maybe Liverpool could get that right this time and get the whole 3 points. Arsenal is going to be playing Stoke. They could beat old Stoke. Huddersfield is playing Newcastle, which is funny. It's basically a championship game under a Premiership banner. Two teams got promoted to the Premiership against each other. It's just like a game in the Championship, but played on a Sunday Premiership. And the big game is going to be this weekend, is Spurs versus Chelsea. Spurs coming off a win. And they were second last year to Chelsea, who was first. And Spurs coming off a loss at home. And this game is it's a derby, but it will be played at Wembley Stadium, which is Spurs' home ground for the season. So, yeah. That's going to be interesting. It's an interesting game. I'm not sure. If Chelsea can unravel themselves from what happened this weekend. Not sure. And then Spurs ain't great at Wembley, but I don't want to put that stigma on them. I don't think that's a true stigma. It's a way to make fun of them, but I don't know if that's true. I could say this game could be a tie, which is a really slow start for Chelsea. At least Spurs already has 3 points. It's not... So... You know, you don't want to say the second game of a season is a must-win, but it kind of is for Chelsea. Or else they're going to start getting that feeling of winning the championship under Mourinho, and then the season after when they just had ties and losses until they were out of it. So you don't want to get that started. And Diego Costa is home in Brazil talking about he's being fined every day for being away. And he's saying they treated him like a criminal. And that they told him to come back and train with a reserve team. And he said that he deserves better than that. So he refuses to come back to do that. I think he should have just came back. I think if he trained with a reserve team, he would have ended up at least on the bench with the starters. He would have been fine. But he has a lot of sense of pride. And he's like, fuck that. So he's just fighting with the coach. He's angry about being texted that he was not going to return to Chelsea. So it's definitely an ego pride thing, as it always is with Diego Costa. I guess my question is, did he try to get transferred to China in the middle of last season, or did Chelsea try to get rid of him? Like, what was the deal there? Like, whose fault was that? Because at first I thought it was him trying to go to China for money, but then I read something that it might have been Chelsea trying to sell him, which would be crazy in the middle of a championship run when you have no, you know, forward. But and also back to the Chelsea game, William played good. William plays good under any circumstances, you know. He'll play good if you're winning the championship, and he'll play good if you're out, you're down in the middle of the table. He's forever. Man City versus Everton. That's a good game. That's a good game. Let's see. Man City will probably be Everton. And it's at the Etihad Stadium. So that's the Premiership wrap-up. That's the Europe wrap-up. What else? Yeah, that's it. It's just a wicked opening weekend. Like, I was excited before it started, and I was excited afterwards. It was just great. Just an amazing weekend. And it started off with the, like I said, with the Leicester Arsenal, and then it closed with a bang with the Man U versus West Ham game. And I've seen 4-0 games before, but this was a beautiful 4-0 game. The style of Man U is amazing. Very amazing. I just want to see if they can keep this up when they don't have all those starters available and they have to mix and match. And I hope they gel well when they mix and match. But we'll see. It's been a great opening to the season. I'm excited to do the podcast. Keep listening. Have some fun. Love yourselves. Take care of each other out there. There's a lot of crazy shit going on in the world, but we're all responsible to make all that crazy shit go away. So let's do that. Each individual can make all this crazy shit go away by doing their part and not acting crazy and by being human. So let's do that. Love y'all. Go to iTunes, give this thing a review, and what else? Get at me on Twitter and on Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic. I'm in Australia. I have a show at the Sydney Comedy Store this Saturday, August 19th at 7:15. I'm doing a one-hour show. I'm headlining. So if you're in town, come through. If you're not flying, it's just a day flight away. It's just a 90-hour flight away. What's the big deal? Ballers out there, come through and check me out at the Comedy Store in Sydney doing an hour. And that's it. One love. Tell some friends. Subscribe on SoundCloud. And if you go to my website, Ian Edwards Comedian, my album is available there for $5. It's called 100% Half-Assed. And yeah, that's the final. That's it. That's it. For final, for real. That's it. No more.